Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Srimati Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Hari Hari Bo. Yes, that's fine. Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto. Chapter 17, description of the Varnashram system. We have three verses today. We can do the first verse responsively because that one has the purport, and the other two we'll just say together.
Sidan vipro vanig vritya.
Sidan
vipro vanig vritya. Padam taret. Khadgena va padakranto. Nashva vritya kathanchana. Sidan vipro vanig vritya. Panyair eva padam taret. Khadgena va padakranto. Nashva vritya kathanchana. Sidan vipro vanig vritya. Panyaireva padam taret. Khadgena va padakranto. Nashva vritya kathanchana.
Thank you.
word for word. Sidan.
Suffering.
Vipraha.
Vipraha.
Ibrahmana.
Brahmana.
Vanik.
Of a merchant.
Vritya.
By the occupation.
Panyai.
By doing business. Eva.
Indeed.
Apadam.
Suffering.
Tadet.
Should overcome.
Khadgena.
With sword.
Va.
Or.
Apada.
By suffering.
Akrantaha.
Afflicted.
Not.
Shwa.
Of the dog.
Vritya.
By the occupation.
Katanchana.
By any means. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. If a Brahmin cannot support himself through his regular duties and is thus suffering, he may adopt the occupation of a merchant and overcome his destitute condition by buying and selling material things. If he continues to suffer extreme poverty, even as a merchant, then he may adopt the occupation of a Kshatriya, taking his sword in hand. But he cannot in any circumstances become like a dog accepting an ordinary master. Purport. Svavritya, or a dog's profession, refers to the sudras who cannot live without accepting a master. A destitute Brahmin who is suffering intolerably may become a merchant and then a Kshatriya, but may never take the position of a sudra by working in a company or accepting a master. Although a Kshatriya is ordinarily considered more elevated than a Vaishya, the Lord here recommends the distressed Brahmanas first accept the Vaishya's occupation since it is non-violent. I'll make a little comment here and then we'll go on. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jnana Jana Salakaya Chaksu Militanina Tasmaya Sri Gurave Namaha. Yeah, Nagaraji. Jaitam Sarito Pangor Mamamanda Mater Gati Matsar Vasva Patambo Jo Radha Madana Mohano. By Prabhupada's mercy. There we shall go. So, here we're continuing Lord Krishna's description of the Varnashram system, and he's giving a couple things about the Brahmin. Of course, if we know that the Brahmin's qualities, one is specifically is truthfulness, and everything that says in the Bhagavatam, it's not just whimsically being spoken, it's supported by everything else, it's all connected. So we knew from the description from Chanaka Pandit that he didn't accept the position of getting a salary from the king so he could maintain his truthfulness, because that's such an important quality. In fact, if you just develop that quality, it'll lead to a mystic vision. Just by not changing your nature into a duplistic nature, it also magnifies the simplicity you can be if you're truthful and depending on Krishna. We're going to read the next two verses, and then I'm going to try to put something together here. So, text number 48.
I guess we'll do it together.
Okay.
Vaishya Vritya Turajanyo Jivenregaya Prapadi Charedva Viparupena Nashva Vritya Katamchana.
A king or other member of the royal order who cannot maintain himself by his normal occupation may act as a vaishya, may live by hunting, or may act as a brahmana by teaching others Vedic knowledge, but he may not under any circumstance adopt the profession of a sudra. What I found specifically interesting about this, that seems a little unusual. Do you notice anything unusual about that? It says that a kshatriya could act as a brahmin. Yeah, it's going up. Usually it's always you can step down, but here he's saying he can actually, because we know that kshatriyas are twice born, so they have this knowledge, this Vedic knowledge, and of course I'm going to emphasize that more when I get into the bulk of the class. So we have one more verse. You want to say that one? This is text 49.
Shudra vrittim bhajet vaishya shudra karu katakriyam kritra mukto nagaryena vrittim lipset karmana.
A vaishya, or mercantile man, who cannot maintain himself may adopt the occupation of a sudra. Well, so there's one. And a sudra who cannot find a master can engage in simple activities like making baskets and mats of straw. However, all members of society who have adopted inferior occupations in emergency situations must give up those substitute occupations when the difficulties have passed. So when thinking about this Varnashram system, I like to start with in the beginning. So 220 in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Najayate Mriyate Va. There's never a time you did not, well, that's a different one. But it says that for the soul, there's neither birth nor death. He never, he's eternal. So if you start with that remembrance, that we're eternal, but what happens? We got a 727, which means we're born into delusion, overcome by desire and hate. We got a problem. There you go. You're eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, and now you look around, you're in the material world, you're born into delusion, overcome by desire and hate. And not only that, but Lord Brahma set you up five kinds of engagements. Your self-deception, fear of death. What is this? Anybody know that? 3.12.2. You want to pull that up? We'll just take a quick look at that. I just get numbers. So when you think about this, 3.12.2, it says Lord Brahma first created Nescient activities. What? Someone read that? Maybe Keshav, you got the mic.
Brahma first created Nescient engagements like self-deception.
Okay. So there's, you start off like that. Here you are eternal, but you're starting off like that. We have a problem. Okay, so some people may say, this is a God-forsaken place. So we have to say, Krishna, he doesn't take that lying down. He says, I create a system. Is it 413, is it? Who knows 413? Yeah, there you go. Someone has to say it loud enough. that he creates a system of according to the three modes of nature. So, of course, if we go to 3.5 first, he says, so every living entity is forced to act helplessly. You're forced to act, but you're still responsible. And you're going to get in trouble because that's what the modes of nature do. You're going to get another body. So you're going through a... So you're thinking, how's this working? Not so good. So Krishna, he says, yada, yada, yada. He comes again and again to reestablish how to get out of here. I know you got a problem. According to the three modes of nature and the work associated with them, which is what we're talking about today, they got a certain nature. And the four divisions of human society were created by me. So he created these things. So if we go to 1846, you got that one, huh? By worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings, who is all pervading, and man can obtain perfection through performing his own work. So, okay, here's he's talking about you have a varnashram system. Everybody's got something to do, and if you do that work, what'll happen? You can worship Krishna, and then perfection. That's the word I was looking for. A man can obtain perfection. So okay, this is your ticket. So you got this. But of course, anytime Krishna says anything, because of 1863, he says, it is better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Duties prescribed according to one's nature are never afflicted by sinful reaction. But today's verses, he's given you a concession. Even if you can't, even if you're doing your service and you can't do it just right, you're still problems because one nice thing, well, many nice things, but you have a 529 that Krishna, I was going to put a 310 first, that the problem is in this world is that we're not happy. It just doesn't work out. You just can't get it to work. Anybody ever experienced that it didn't just... And Lord Brahma, he created frustration, wasn't it? Anger after frustration. So it's engineered into it. It's not going to work. But we have a 310, which is, in the beginning, the Lord sent forth generations of men and government gods, and he says, you can be happy by sacrifice. So this sacrifice, dharma, this is what you can do, and this will give you happiness to do your prescribed duties. And even if it's not working so good, you can still do it. But you... a 246 is that you have to know the purpose. If you're doing something, you have to know what the purpose is of what you're doing it for. Because if you just do your duty, but you don't know exactly why, you may have a problem, just like 57, 58. We're going to do a group of them here. We're going to start at 57 and we'll go to like 63. So 57, Krishna's, we'll start at 56 actually. They'll engage in all kinds of activities. My pure devotees, under my protection, reaches the eternal or perishable abode by grace. So, in all activities... Oh, I'm sorry. I saw the wrong page number. I was 56. 57 is all activities just depend upon me. Work always under my protection in such devotional service. Be fully conscious of me. And then he says, if you become conscious of me, that's all you got to do. You'll cross over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness and act through false ego, not hearing me, you'll be lost. So, of course, we understand that Krishna set everything up because of 529. He's your suridam. He's your best friend. He says, I know you got a problem. He says, I didn't forsake you. I did come and I got a system set up for you. And this will take care of all your problems. You just have to remember me. But there's a little catch because, you know, bhoktaram jagatapasam. So what do you do the varnashram system for? How do you know when you've got that down right? What's the perfection? How do you say that? Some, what it is? Some siddhi haditoshanam. 1, 2, 13. He says that this perfection is if you just do it to please me. That's all. I mean, we got a problem, and the root of that problem is not particularly thinking of pleasing Krishna. We have a substitute idea for what to please here, which is our senses and our sense objects. So if you perform your varnashram duty, then you can become perfect. So I was going to read the other couple verses, because Krishna, every time he says something, he always tells you, he gives you your choice. Was that 1863, but he'll tell you why. He'll say, okay, so 1859, he says, if you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, you'll be falsely directed. By your nature, you will have to be engaged in warfare. He says, so basically, you're going to do it anyway. You got, it was at 3-5, you're forced to act helplessly. So the only real choice that we're bringing up to you is if you do it for yourself, you're heavily responsible. Like we heard the other day, a military man, he kills hundreds of people and he gets a medal. He comes home and he just kills one and he's put to death. So you, under Krishna's direction, you follow his direction. He's the one that gets the credit, even though he likes to give it to his devotees. He's ultimately the one that's doing it. He's the non-doer, but he's the 326. Anyway, so you do it for Krishna's pleasure. So, and then he's explaining that you can do it for me, or you'll do it anyway, but you won't be with me. Just like in the two verses ago, or the verse before, he says, if you do it for me, you'll cross over all the obstacles to additional life. But if you do it through the false ego, then you'll be lost. So where will you be lost? You'll still be engaged, but you'll be lost. So then he says, under illusion, you're now declining to act according to my direction, but compelled by the work born of your own nature, you'll act all the same. So he said, you're going to do it. Either way, you're going to do it, but you're not going to be conscious of me if you do it the other way, and it's going to come with a heavy a death sentence, basically. So then 61, he says, either way. He says, the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, or seated as on a machine made into material energy. He says, so everything's under Krishna's control. You have the choice of either the internal potency and be under the 922, or the protection of the internal potency, or, well, you're lost. So then 62, he's recommending his opinion. He says, O Skarna Bharat, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will obtain transcendental peace and a supreme and eternal abode. So here's your choice. You're going to do it. You're either going to do it one way, or I'd like to say, we can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way. All right, if you listen to Krishna, first class intelligence is you can learn by hearing. All right, Krishna, you've convinced me. Adoshvata sadasa, I'm going to listen to you. So, and what's he say afterwards? He's giving him a little quiz. He says, thus I explain to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on it fully. Then do what you wish to do. So deliberate it. Think about this for a minute. All right, you know, you don't have to rush in anything. I think I've given you enough information here. Think about it. I know you're busy and it's hard to, you know, to stop for a minute. But think about it. You're going to be doing this either way. You're always going to be acting. But now act for some siddhi haditosham to please Krishna. And everything's going to work like magic. Or don't do it for Krishna. And what do you call it? You may have some difficulties. So I was thinking if you go to Madhyalila, chapter 8, verse, 57. Maybe we could pull that one up. It's so nice. Krishna says, he gives these Vedic literature for us. You know, by all these Vedic literature, he's to be known, the 1515. So how wonderful this is that we get to hear about this. And it makes us fortunate. So I think, let's see. How's this one go? Lord Chaitanya, he's talking to his wonderful devotee, Ramananda Roy, and he asked him a question. Keshava, could you read that with the microphone?
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda Roy, recite the verse from the revealed scriptures concerning the ultimate goal of life. Ramananda replied, if one executes the prescribed duties of his social position, he awakens his original Krishna consciousness.
So the idea of following the Varnashram system was, it's an indirect, it takes a little while to do that, it's external. So if you go to the next verse, I think the next verse, nice purport for that one actually. So here's the verse that he quotes on that. Maybe you could read that one too.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashram. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of the four Varnas and Ashrams.
Because everyone's under the modes of nature, and you have a natural inclination to do something according to your modes. So these modes should be engaged in Krishna's service. And the government, they used to have this set up, like Maharaj Prithu. He would collect the taxes and then have sacrifices with the taxes, so everyone would be benefited. Because it says that Maharaj Yudhisthira, he says the first qualification of a leader is prajna, is to see all the living entities that are in his under his control, how they can be benefited, just like a parent thinks about their children, not only the humans but all the different species, and that particular caring, loving mentality affects what type of intelligence is given to us. All of our intelligence comes from our relationship with Krishna. And according to what your desire is, you're given a particular type of understanding, a particular type of intelligence. And when someone thinks about doing service, doing good for others, Krishna is very pleased with that. Like we have a 12, 13, 14. He says, one who's non-envious, who's doesn't consider himself a proprietor, he's very dear to Krishna. So when the kings, they would say that actually everything belongs to the Brahmins, which is kind of interesting because people work so hard to get something, but yet when it's given to the Brahmins, you know what they do with it? They just give it away. So it's a little bit of a head scratcher for we're working so hard to get something, and the ones that are actually intelligent, they just give it away. They don't even care for it. It like reminds you of the story of Sanatan Goswami and a touchstone. I mean, why is it not so important to people have knowledge? Just like sometimes I'll think Krishna, smiling in the midst of both armies, spoke to the grief-stricken Arjuna. Arjuna could say, how can you be smiling? I'm in crisis here. You know, this is a serious problem for me, and you're still smiling. So Krishna, he could say, maybe I know something you don't. Because this idea, we always think we know so much. It's just one of the problems of conditioned life. Who knows more than me? So when you say, well, Krishna, could you tell me something? I'm kind of in distress. I say, oh, there's something to smile about. You're accepting Krishna as a guide, as your guru to instruct you. And he actually does know how to make you happy. Krishna knows how to put a smile on your face. And you return the favor by wanting to please Krishna. And it's a wonderful, loving exchange that takes place. So in this verse here, this also reminds you of the Sri Upanishad verse, Isha Vaishya Dham Sarvam. He says that everything is owned and controlled by the Lord, and one should accept those things as set aside as his quota. So not to want more and more, because lust and greed. Greed is one of those blinding elements that completely disturbs someone. You know, that's one of the gates to hell. Not that it's not running loose now, but so we have this, the next verse, he said, there's no alternative for this way for man. So that was also explained that we come under the instructions of Krishna. We want to engage what we have in his service. We're never the loser. And it's so funny when you start to think how it is that the ones that really know about Krishna and about God, they're not interested in accumulating so many things here. In fact, Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto, he talks about how to counteract these different pushings of the senses. And one of the ones, it says, one should discuss the disadvantages of having money. How many conversations do you see on the internet about that? You know, what are the disadvantages of having money? And I remember one time we were discussing about the heavenly planets in a Bhagavatam class, and everybody was saying, the mood was, what a waste of time, you know, we'll be so much time before we can go back to be with Krishna, and then there's the sense gratification is so dangerous there, we could forget everything. And I was thinking, where else besides a Hare Krishna Bhagavatam class will you have a group of people all dissing or saying the disadvantages of going to heaven? Where do you find that? Where do you find the disadvantages of accumulating wealth? You know, so much. Prabhupada would say that first it's a very hard endeavor to get the money. But then as soon as you get the money, what's everybody else want? A chunk of it. They're going to get it from you. They're either going to break in your house and shoot you, kill you right on the spot to get it, so you're dead. So you have to have an alarm system or dogs, you know, barking dogs. You can't go up to the house because beware of the dogs. And then the government, oh, they got a plan for you too, how to get your money. So everybody wants it. And then you can't sleep at night because there's a new tax bill. I'm going to lose some money. Did we do this right? Did we end that correct? Did I send that letter off? Did you send that letter off? You know, they're always in anxiety about it. Even though they have so much, you can't even estimate how much. One show, these two people were discussing all their different houses that they have all over the place. They got so many houses. And one of them was burning down in the fire in California, but they had like 10 other houses, so, you know, but there was anxiety there, so their insurance. So anyway, so by these particular verses here is saying about the, it kind of like made reference on a Brahmin who can't support himself through his regular duties. So what's a Brahmin's regular duties? That's also outlined in the Bhagavad Gita. They have certain things they do. They teach. They live simply. And, of course, Krishna always puts in, he's very clever. He says, you know what the wealth of the Brahmins is? Their austerity of not having not having anything. So what a tricky way to sell something. I'm selling you austerities, but that's your wealth. So the wealth of the Brahmins, but he says that if it's getting to be too much that he can buy and sell things. So they go on eBay and they get some things and you can buy them and sell them. But it mentioned, and the Kshatriya, he says that's going to be a little hard because devotees generally, Brahmins are soft-hearted. So I mean you could be, if you're careful, someone that wants to give people the choice. And then if they make the bad choice, there's the shastra. Is that what the long A? And then there's, you take the long A away and you have shastra, which is the weapon. So sometimes when Prabhupada was talking to guests, they would talk about, you know, non-violence, and Prabhupada would say, no, there are bad people, and violence is required, you know, because there's different forms of government for different modes of nature. Like, Brahmins are self-governing because they follow the scripture, so they're governed by the scripture. The Kshatriyas, their form of government is a monarch, because of might makes right. And for the Vaishyas, they are capitalism, you know, to get money somehow or other. And for the Sudras, it was communism. They just get stuff given to them. They don't particularly deal with money because I think we mentioned that yesterday, that they don't know what to do with money. They would do the wrong things with it. They don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. So they're provided for, they're taken care of by the benevolence of the other classes of the varnas and the ashrams, because in each, if it's coming down from the Brahmins, and the Brahmins will tell you that that if you don't please Krishna, that's a 1, 2, 8. Keshava? I'm going to tap. Hey, Keshava. Could you put up a 1, 2, 8? Yeah. What? Shava Eva. Did you put it up? Oh, he didn't do it. We just have the pundits here.
So much useless labor.
So, who likes useless labor? Sometimes in the military, they used to say, dig a hole here exactly 4 feet by 4 feet by 4 feet. And the guy would come out with a tape measure and measure it exactly to make sure it's 4 feet by 4 feet by 4 feet. And you say, I worked all day for that. Wow, what are you going to put in it? He says, fill it in. Fill it in. Just take that dirt and fill it back in. How do you think that made you feel? Ah. And then the next day, he says, that hole wasn't big enough. I want this one to be 6 by 6 by 6. And he comes out and measures it. Oh, you're only 5.5 feet here, 6. And you do the whole thing. Now fill it in. So, of course, they have their reasons. They call it, it's called discipline, but not the question, but how that generally makes you feel. Imagine that the example that we hear is that You work every week and you work so hard. You know, sometimes people really work hard and they put the money in the bank, direct deposit nowadays. It goes into the bank. So finally, now 40, I call it the 40-40. Most, it's probably different than that now. When I was growing up, it was the 40-40. You know the 40-40? 40 years at 40 hours. So you started at 20, you retired when you were 16, you worked 40 hours every week. And it was all directly deposited. And then you go to get the money out of the bank, and they say, I'm sorry, there was a glitch in the software, and it went to the wrong account. Oh, well, how you put it in the wrong account, you can't get anything back. So that was the verse, that was the 1:2:8, is this useless labor. So that's a nice thing to think about when you're old. They say that there's, I remember in school they talked about, there was the midlife crisis. Around 40, people used to change their occupations and stuff. But they actually explained it in psychology class. There's three crises. 20, what am I going to do? So that's the first crisis. You just, around that age, you know, you're getting out of school. You just went to all the schooling. You know, you're trying to figure out what to do. Now, what am I going to do? Maybe I should do this or maybe I should do that. Okay, I'll try something. So you try it. You work really hard that you want to build yourself. But there was some office politics and there was this happened. And anyway, it didn't work out so good. Imagine that. So now you're 40 and you say, that was horrible. I'm going to do something completely different. That was so boring. There was no excitement in it. Now, people were terrible to work with. So then he had the midlife crisis, and he gets a new sports car. He noticed nothing's working so good anymore. His body's breaking down. So he has this crisis. He tries something else, and then for 20 years he does that. And then 60 comes along, and he thinks, I really blew it. Now I went through my whole life. I had this first job I didn't like. The second job was even worse. And now my body's practically finished, so they had the last crisis, which is at 60. Now I've hari bipale. I've wasted my life. So talk about useless labor, because it has a purpose. What's the purpose of doing everything? What was the purpose of the Varnashram system? What is it to do? It's in that same verse, 1:2:8. It says that one is supposed to develop an attraction for the messages of Krishna, which will take care of everything. If you just developed Adoshrada Sadasanga, when you're in Sadasanga, what are they going to do? They do a 10-9. They're going to Matchitta Makata Pranam Bodhyantam Parasparam. And that's because they're hoping for in 1868 and 69. Because there's no one more dear to me than he who preaches to the devotees. So if you do the Adoshrada just in hearing, because the Varnashram system was to bring you to the point of a developing attraction for hearing about Krishna. If you don't develop that, then what was the good of it? It's just useless labor. So you have to see, is it working? What you're doing, just like we have Bhagavad Gita chapter 12, verse 8. It says, you should always think about me. But if you can't always think about me, I'll give you something else you can do. I'm going to give you some sadhana. And by this sadhana, what's going to happen? What's the fruit of sadhana? You're going to develop the desire. So this sadhana is based on developing your desire, just like Varnashram was based on also increasing your interest in hearing about Krishna, because at the 2:46, you have to know the purpose of what all the purposes of the small well can be served by the great reservoir. You have to know there's a purpose for everything, and that purpose is to bring you closer. So then you check to make sure you're not doing a niyamagraha, which is a term that Rupa Goswami has given in his Upadeshamrita, that is it working? Or is your consciousness developing more loya, more lala samayi, more intensity for developing Krishna consciousness? Because your mind is your best friend when it's engaged in devotional service, or it can be your worst enemy. And the Niyamagraha is generally the door that it comes in. It says if a Brahmin is dissatisfied, then his knowledge will disappear. So after you forget, we're eternal. We have an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. We're in trouble now. We're in this material world, and Krishna hasn't forsaken us. He's given us all these directions by which our 337, our original dormant love for Krishna that's been covered now by the lust of the material world will be changed back into its love for Krishna. So I thank you. If there's any questions. Oh, we got two questions already. Thank you. I don't know. Over on the other side there. Okay.
Earlier on, you mentioned that you were talking about truthfulness, and you said that that leads to mystic vision. And you didn't expand on that at all.
Well, it's also, if you lose your truthfulness, it leads to insanity. So those are the two positions if you use it. Like, for instance, I'll go the negative, then I'll go to the positive. The negative is how it leads to insanity. Do you know what you call if you speak something that's not true? It's lying. So lying has a couple different things that happens. You have a motivation, and Krishna said everything. He's doing everything. So, and he's arranging this situation for you personally, especially for devotees. And you're supposed to come up with a conclusion from these situations, especially devotees that are always chanting. So we want to see Krishna's hand in it. And then someone else says, no, it didn't happen the way Krishna set it up. It happened the way I think, and I'm telling you it happened. So they lie. And of course, that's Bhumi, Mother Bhumi Earth. She says, I can tolerate oceans. How much is an ocean weigh? 1 gallon is 8 pounds. I mean, how many gallons are in the ocean? How about a mountain? How much do mountains weigh? He said, I can tolerate that, but I can't tolerate a liar. So you get a serious sinful reaction. Plus, if you know, I know a couple really good liars, and they even could take a lie detector test, polygraph, and they would pass it. They were really good. That's because they believe what they say, the reality that they come up with. Now, they have a term for that in psychology. It's called psychosis. They're psychotic. They think whatever they think is the reality, and it's different than everybody else's reality. In fact, if you don't agree with it, they usually have something they do for you. So, that's that the effect of not doing it. Now, Krishna, he's sattvam param dhimahi. That's one of the things that devotees do. They meditate on the truth. And Krishna's truth, there's a couple different meanings of truthful. Sometimes they say true is not telling a lie, but that's a relative, moralistic, mundane conception. But actual truth is sattvam param dhimahi. He's meditating on Krishna, who's actually the truth. He's the supreme absolute, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satyananda. He's the supreme absolute truth. And it's realized in different phases. So when you meditate on that, you start to see, what's another name for Krishna? He's the mystic. He's the supreme Yogishwar, or there's that's a pronunciation. You got to get it just right, or it's Lord Shiva. You know, there's you have to get this Yogeshwar down right if you say. But anyway, that's a preliminary aspect. But just ordinarily speaking, you start to be able to see through your simplicity. You know, it says a devotee should be simple because the opposite of simple is duplistic, which is a manipulative. You're working an angle of your mind to come up with a particular outcome which will be favorable for your plan. So much is mine today, more will be mine tomorrow. So they got a plan. And when you give that up and you maintain it, because it's not always easy to be truthful. Truthful also adds to humility. It says you can be so truthful that you can disclose the truth even to an enemy, which doesn't seem to make sense for the most part. You know, if you tell the truth to the enemy, he may hurt you. So a good example of that is Prahlad Maharaj. What's the best thing you learned in school today, Prahlad? You know, he was hoping to get some arithmetic or some. Instead, he says that one should always worship Lord Vishnu. That may have not been exactly what his father wanted to hear. And he got kind of in trouble, but he was truthful. And not only that, but what was the other thing that he realizes? That Krishna is protecting him. Devotees are under the protection. Can we trust Krishna? That's, you know, can Krishna trust us? That's another point. But can we act, Krishna, will you really protect me? If I just think of you, if I just do all these things, I don't know, it's a little scary. So we're gradually developing that. In fact, that's one of the aspects of a sannyas. They have to be at that point where they're fearless. Okay, I'm going to depend on Krishna, Rake Krishna, Mare Krishna, Rake K. If it's my time, who's going to be able to stop that? And if it's not my time, who's going to be able to override what Krishna has in mind? So then they travel around, like we had Narada Muni, 5-year-old boy, traveling around. We had Prahlad Maharaj, tormented by his father. And then you develop this Prarajakacharya. He becomes a Paramahansa after learning how to trust Krishna, how to see the 922, carry what you have, or protect those things. And then he's made it. He's actually, all he's doing now is seeing Krishna, the Paramahansa, Premanjana. They're seeing, there isn't anything but Krishna. But right now, we can't see it through our, we don't have Premanjana. What we have, the other thing is Agyan. We got cataracts in our eyes that are, actually it's in our heart, and it goes into, okay, I'm sorry, I'm being long-winded. Thank you. There's another question, just to you. Over that way.
It's strange because we see that we rely on the the Grihasthas to give charity in their lives, and everybody knows how difficult it is to be
dependent
on soldiers
charity.
And to bring money up and have your children fed and their house and all this, you know, money needed for everything. And I think Prabhupada asked us to give 50% of our welcome to the Brahmins. So I don't know who's able to do that. I think maybe Prabhupada just put the bar very high so we would give. But this is very difficult to do for the Ashtas.
When I recall most of that, the 50% times, it was the example is set by, I think, Rupa Goswami, that when he retired from his government service, he had a boatload of gold, so to speak, or actually literally. And he says he divided it in an exemplary way, that he gave 50% for the execution of Krishna consciousness, 25% you set aside for your personal emergencies, and 25% I think relatives or other thing you live off of. So most of the time is when you joined the temple, like we talked about Magrari the hunter. He was it Narada Muni, he says, break your bow. And he says, if I break my bow, how will I maintain myself? And Narada Muni speaking on Krishna's behalf, as the guru is one, it's Krishna, and we're authorized representatives to repeat what Krishna says, that Krishna will, you'll be maintained if you surrender Sarvanaprayaja, everything will be taken care of. So he did that, and sometimes we found that Krishna's representative may not have been representing Krishna. There was sometimes different things happened to devotees that brought that into question. However, Krishna is still there, and there's what he says, nitya nitya nam, Krishna is maintaining everyone. It's one of our main points, nitya nitya nam. He says, a big elephant, how's he get his 80 kilos a day, or the ant gets his one grain? You drop something in your kitchen, there's no ants in the kitchen. You drop it, the ant comes in from outside, you know, like for his distance, maybe 100 miles. He knows about that little thing you dropped in your kitchen. Comes in, takes it, and then leaves, some, if you're lucky. You may look around and set up a freeway if you got other stuff. But and you start to see four-lane wide, you know, superhighway coming in. So Krishna does do all those things, and some of the aspects of devotee's heart has to be contacted. Our hearts, at least mine, steel frame, is something like Banasura's fort. It's very hard to get to. There's barbed wire, electric fences, moats, there's armies. It's very hard to get to the heart. So sometimes in the absolute realm, they have like mathematics in this realm called absolute mathematics. And you have a negative five or a positive five. The positive or negative actually isn't taken in consideration. It's how far it's from zero. So when you're trying to think of Krishna in your happiness or your distress, the distress would seemingly be the negative number. But now because it's absolute, the negative isn't so important. But what's important is the connection of your heart to Krishna. So sometimes in distress, you actually can pray more sincerely than in happiness. And if you think about it, most people don't pray that much in happiness. It's like, oh, Krishna, why'd you send all this money and all this wonderful things to me? But we do have those things on the way home from visiting Krishna in Dwarka. Sudama Brahman, he says, I don't know if I can handle it. You know, there's a fear. That's one of the disadvantages of wealth, is the fear that I'll become insensitive. And it's only a little bit of time. How much time do we have left? Most of us don't have much time left because we're running back to the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there's no time. So we're running out of time. And in fact, we're almost out of time. But that's a pun if you play with words. You know, that. So sometimes the distress, if you've ever watched a child trying to contact its mother, maybe in a store, it's a little one, maybe 4 or 5 years old, they tap on the mother or they pull on her jacket and the mother's talking or doing something else. Didn't acknowledge the child, so the child just waits patiently. What's the child do? The next thing that'll do. It ramps up. It just keeps going until they're screaming, they're kicking her in the leg, you know. They're not going to. So Krishna starts off, he taps you on the shoulder. lightly, you know, oh, over here, you know, like Gayatri mantra, I'm over here, you know, this is where you should look. And then if you're not turning that way, so to speak, you're not giving him your attention, he can turn it up by his mercy if he wants your attention. So you have to consider that, do you really want to go that way? We can do it the easy way. Or, so a lot of times Krishna is just trying to get us out of the Draupadi, the two-handed Draupadi, where she says, Krishna, you're the only one that can protect me. You're the only one that can save me from this. And then there's so many other levels of going on too, that Krishna is your very best friend. But we kind of take him for granted. There was that one story, I don't know if it's true anymore, it's such a long time ago, but the way I remembered it was, my little girl, she was about 8 years old, and she was a picky eater. You ever seen kids that are picky eaters? She didn't like peas. So if we cooked something with peas, her portion couldn't have peas in it. And there was a couple other things. So I was watching this whole thing, because I'm a watcher, and my wife was going through all these things, getting just the kind of stuff from the store. Of course, she offers it, and then she gives it to my daughter, and I'm just amazed. I could have never done that. You eat this or you don't eat it, you know. But she goes through all this trouble and says, you know, and gives it to her, and my daughter's looking at it, and I'm saying, do you know how much love went into this preparation that you're eating to get it just how, you know, all the idiosyncrasies you have about eating? And she says, that's her job. So I went, oh, you know, so nitya nitya num, Krishna, he's take care of everybody. And then we're getting so many different things. And you ever think about Krishna to thank him? You just say, well, that's his job. That's what he does. Krishna's taking care of every living entity. But it's personal. It's love. It's got all these different things in it. So Krishna, all he wants from us is that thought, you know, that appreciation, that thank you. And then, of course, it goes on and on more and more. And these things that happen, like with that circumstance, because of my following Prabhupada's directions, I'm trying to chant a lot. I related that to Krishna, and that's like we just did here with the Nityanam. How many things we take for Krishna? Oh, I just thought of this. Oh, I missed my turn. Oh, I just made the right turn. All these wonderful things that are always happening to us, that we take Krishna for granted. So in that same way, all he wants, just like, let's say you have kids. There's a good use of an analogy we can say. They haven't called home for a couple months. They're grown up now. So they finally call home and say, oh, I'm so glad you called. He says, yeah, I need a little money. Oh, So you say, I thought you were going to call, ask how I am, how's it, you know, some relationship thing. But all it was is, could you give me a, you know, I ran into a problem here. My car broke. I need a little money. Can you say, sure, I'll send you some money. So the thing is, how many people contact Krishna and say, oh, how are you? You know, like we have Darshan. So Darshan, Krishna is saying, come by and see me. I got all dressed up. Imagine you got all these nice clothes. You get all dressed up, and nobody notices. Nobody looks at you. You go out, you know, if you went to a party, wherever people go when they dress up, and nobody notices. They have the red carpet, you know, all this dress is, you know, it's a big deal. Sachi wanted to go to Lord Shiva's, the Daksha's sacrifice. Sati, they like. So Krishna says, come by, look how I look, and the people that dress me, look how much affection they have that they're dressing me like that. And of course, so that's darshan. And then yoga is just like that same thing with the kids. Krishna says, keep in touch, you know, I'm right here. How many times do you even think of me? Always think of me. And yoga, japa. So what's japa? Krishna says, let's spend some quality time together today. I know you got a lot of things to do and there's a lot on your mind and you hardly have any time. But let's spend, it's very personal. Let's spend some time together, just you and me. So that's the way that it works for me anyway. So, oh, we still got one more question. We're going to two questions. Yes, sir. Oh, you got... it's all right.
I just want to say, I heard a story about this distribution of wealth. This was a Christian woman, and she was going to church, and she was always having financial difficulties. So she talked to the priest, and the priest said, you know, are you giving anything to the Lord? And she said, well, I can hardly meet my expense. What are you saying? That's why I'm here. I'm talking to you. And he said, well, you know, if you start giving 50% to the Lord, and then the same thing we have, and 25% for yourself, like that, and 25% for distribution. She said, I came here for help. I don't know. This is impossible. He said, well, anyhow, it's a suggestion. So she went to him and she said, you know, I'm going to try this with a leap of faith. She said, I'm going to try it. So every time she got her money, whether from her husband, I can't remember how, she would do it. She would put 50% aside, and then she would use 25% for her household maintenance and 25% to take care of other expense. And within a year, she had more money than she could even imagine. And what it is, she wrote a book, and of course she sold the book, and she found out when she started giving money away to her friends and stuff, helping them when they're in difficulties, she had more friends, and they were more willing to reciprocate. So sometimes a leap of faith, when you hear these instructions, it takes some kind of leap of faith to follow it, and of course the Lord will fulfill His promises.
Because there's a trick about this material world.
I have one more point.
And that's... goes to that, you know, we have our, it's considered a knot in the heart, you know, like you ever get, if you go to, you're feeling bad, so you go to a massage person, and they say, oh, you got a big knot here, you know, and he pushes on it, So we got a knot in our heart, and Krishna's pushing on that, you know, you give this, give it, I don't have enough, you know, so it's called the Hriya Granthi. It's a knot.
The other point is, you know, Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm just a servant of the servant of the servant. So, you know, we are going through all this, these verses and the Varnashram. So, it's the bottom point, since, you know, we're trying to be devotees, just to think of Krishna and do whatever is necessary, and then...
That's a different class. This particular one is, the chapter is called Varnashram. So even, it's a starting point, but the principle and the time, there's principle and detail, and then the principle is to surrender to Krishna, and then the details according to the time and circumstance. So because we're in such a fallen stage right now, we're getting the emergency measure by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, Radharani's mercy. Krishna's has that emotion of just, you can't actually do anything right now. Manda sumanda matayo. Your intelligence, meager. You're lazy, unlucky. You know, practically speaking, nothing's going to work. So bringing in the special thing, because Lord Chaitanya ultimately, he said this was external. That was the next verse. So he only accepted when you got to 10.14.3 about hearing. You dedicate your life to these narrations. So not only you dedicate your life to these narrations of hearing it, you've also dedicated your life to these narrations of distributing it. So it's so perfect, the whole thing, because Krishna says, Shrinvata Swagata Krishna. He says that if you just develop this urge, which you get by serving the spiritual master, Shushusho Shadadanyan, that this will take care of everything. So this is the special boon that's in this age, is these books that Prabhupada translated is revolutionary in the whole world, the cultural. That's how it's being done, is just by these books, by hearing them, reading them, distributing them, getting the word out, so to speak, the good news, the gospel. Thank you.
I will be very brief. you're talking about how by being truthful we'll get all kinds of mystic vision. It reminded me of truthfulness is one of those qualities of goodness. And there's this very interesting paragraph in the preface of the Nectar of Instruction about the power of these good qualities. In all spiritual affairs, one's first duty is to control his mind and senses. Unless one controls his mind and senses, one cannot make any advancement in spiritual life. Everyone within the material world is engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. One must promote himself to the platform of goodness, sattva-guna, by following the instructions of Rupa Goswami, and then everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed.
All the gates become illumined with knowledge. And you know what is to be feared, what is not to be feared. You know what is liberating, what is binding, 1830. So you get to see everything, and that vision no one else has. That's, we talked about that before. What's that, Anjanata? Well, that's the advanced state, but you start off with a gyan anjana. That way, at least you can see where you're going. Thank you very much. All glories of Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.